like to welcome you to the memorial service for Donald Edward Mathewson this evening, and we'll start with scripture reading by Lynn Lorditch.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son to come here and die, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for the life of Donald Mathewson. We want to thank you for the opportunities that we had to get to know him and to love him. And Lord, we want to pray a special prayer this evening that you would bring comfort and peace to his family and his friends, and especially to his wife, Gertrude. Lord, we just pray that you would just open our hearts to feel your comfort and presence. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen. When I was meeting with Gertrude and Evie last evening, they asked me to do something I don't normally do at a funeral service because I usually get so choked up I can't do it. But they asked me to sing a song, and we decided on Ancient Words because of Donald's love for reading and writing and his just love of language. And Evie and Gertrude were telling me that, he was a connoisseur of the dictionary and knew a lot of words and liked to use them. And so the title of this song is Ancient Words. Well, then they called me later and said, would you consider doing another one that he liked to hear you do? And I said, right now with my voice is like it is, that's out of my range. And so we decided to stick with Ancient Words. So listen to the words to this. They're very pretty.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words in. but true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
Hello, I'm Donald's oldest son, Carl. Thanks for coming today. Donald Matheson was born in a tiny house in a suburb of Syracuse called Nedro in March 28, 1924. And it was actually in a garage that was remodeled by his father, who was a tool maker. And his mother was a housewife. He lived there for about 8 years. And then during the Great Depression, his father lost his job and the whole family was forced to move to a farm in Fabius, New York. And this was a really neat stone two-story house. I've seen it before, and a lot of the family members have seen it. And here at this house, they could subsist from the land and the farming experience during the Depression. And Donald remembers his life in Fabius as hard and somewhat depressing with the many chores required on the farm. The family raised chickens and delivered eggs to their customers in the city of Syracuse. And I remember my dad talking about this fairly recently, about 2.5 years ago, when we visited them. And we went out and visited the house and everything. And the old farmhouse had no electricity and was heated by fireplaces at that time. It was somewhat of a lonely experience for him, and because he had few playmates. So he took sanctuary and reading books, and they became his prized possessions. And he really developed a love for literature and reading. He remembers a terrible bout of pneumonia at the age of 12, when he almost died after a day of sledding and overexposure to the cold. He was introduced to Jesus during vacation Bible school when he was 10 years old. A neighborly woman had invited him to attend and transported him to and from the church on Sundays. He attended Fabius High School, which was a nearby, the largest community that was nearby there, and was very studious and earned excellent grades. And he remembers his senior year playing the part of an absent-minded teacher in the school play. And he belonged to the Honor Society and graduated in 1942 out of a small class of only 16 students. He then attended Syracuse University for a year, driving back and forth in his first car. When the Depression was over, his father regained employment as a toolmaker and they moved back to Syracuse. He had an opportunity to go to Alaska during the summer, and he remembers his first full job earning $11 a day as an assistant to a geologist, a member of the U.S. Geological Survey. He finished his bachelor's degree at Syracuse University and graduated in 1946 after choosing a major in geology, switching from English literature with a minor in philosophy. He attended Berkeley, UC Berkeley in California, for geology for a year, but did not finish earning a master's degree. Prior to his attendance at Berkeley, he made 2 more trips to Alaska with the U.S. Geological Survey. He loved Alaska and wrote that his trips there were the most memorable of his life. It was during this time that my dad, who always loved literature and poetry, wrote several poems of his own. He met Gertrude, his wife, at a church youth program gathering, and he was so impressed with her behavior toward another young man whom she was dating After she broke off the engagement with that other young man, he persisted in wooing her and won her heart. And there's Gertrude sitting back there. They were married in 1951. Their first child, Carl, that's me, was born in Syracuse, and then the family moved out west, where Donald continued his career in geology as an exploration geologist. We lived in Colorado, New Mexico, then Arizona, and then Nevada, specifically Reno, Nevada, where the other children, Alice, I'm the oldest, Alice was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Roger and Mark were born in Miami and Globe, Arizona. And then we lived in Nevada. Alice was born in 1954, and Roger and Mark were born in Globe in Miami, Arizona. We lived 17 years in Nevada, in Reno, and we moved there in 1966. My mom and my dad celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary in Hawaii, and then that was the beginning of their many extensive travels abroad. They visited Mexico, Jamaica, Austria, Spain, Portugal, the British Isles, Nova Scotia, and Victoria Island. In 1983, Dad took early retirement and they bought an RV from some friends and began traveling around in around the USA. We were all grown up then, and around that time also, Don and Gertrude were being called to leave Nevada to return to New York State to assist the care of an aging parent, Dad's mom, who lived in Syracuse. One of their many activities during their Reno years was participating in the Amway sales program, which they carried back with them to their origins in Syracuse. Don and Gertrude stayed with Donald's mother, caring for her until she passed away. I don't remember what year that was. They continued to enjoy their trips in their motor home with the Good Sam Club and Coast to Coast. They felt that they were being called to minister to the elderly at this time, and they decided to move into Gertrude's cousin's home to care for her. She was losing her sight and had recently lost her husband and needed assistance. Her name was Charlotte. And Charlotte became a prominent member of the family and remained in their care for 16 years. And as her care increased, Don and Gertrude's freedom decreased, so they sold the RV and they settled down and they made themselves content with being homebodies. Donald had a great interest in genealogy, and so he increased his studies in genealogy and tracing our family tree, and started writing a novel, a story similar to the Dallas series on TV, about the family life of some uranium geologist called Yellowcake. Actually, the manuscript is out there on the back table. Donald and Gertrude were very involved in Bridge Club, the Senior Center, and church activities. At Charlotte's passing, the house where they lived was sold and they moved to Lancaster, Ohio to be with their son Roger and Evie, his wife. Donald and Gertrude came to Reflections, a retirement community, in 2005, and Donald spent 2.5 years happily enjoying the community life with his peers. Let's see. I'm just going to share what my dad's last words were. Evie and Roger were talking to him, and he said, what day is this? And that was Christmas Day. So Evie said, it is Christmas, Dad. Merry Christmas. And then Dad said, that's nice. Then after that, he didn't really say too much after that before he passed away. But that was pretty nice, I think. So on the memory table in the back are a lot of neat things about our family that you might want to take a look at. And photo albums and my dad's geology pick and his diploma from Syracuse University and things like that. Thank you.
Those of you who come to church here recognize some of the egg stories and things because Donald told them his children's stories here about his adventures with the eggs crashing all over inside the car one time when he was allowed to drive. You remember that story? Yeah. I can see some smiles, the smiles that you do. So, yeah, we've heard some of Don's stories, and they are fun to listen to. At this time, we're going to sing a couple of Don's favorite songs. Don loved a lot of different songs, but these were two of his favorite that Gertrude shared. And so to save you from having to open the book and flip pages, the words are up here on the wall. We're going to start with Rock of Ages, and when we finish that, we're going to go and sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. If you want to stand, you can. Some people find it easier to sing standing up than sitting down. More volume in your diaphragm.
Rock of Ages, cleave for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wound inside which flow be a sin. Simply to the
you. You may be seated. I think this is probably one of the most special parts of any memorial or funeral service that I've ever been involved in, both as a pastor and before I became a pastor, and that's a time for anyone and everyone who wants to share a memory that they have of the person that we're honoring. And so if you have a special memory you'd like to share about Donald, we invite you to do so at this time. You can either stand up right where you are and speak it out, or if you want, you can come up and use the microphone if you're afraid people won't hear you. So does anybody want to go first?
Hello, I'm Carissa, and I'm his granddaughter, and I'm going to be 23 soon. Just thought I'd let you know that. I just wanted to talk about our times when we used to go RVing together and all the adventures that we had, and although my memory is fading somehow, even though I'm only 23, I do remember, you know, a few instances when he and I would go walking in the woods, and he was such a kind and gentle and understanding and amazingly intelligent individual, and I just remember playing cards with him and games with Grandma and Grandpa and swimming in the swimming pool at the campgrounds, and I mean, who knows, he might have, the initial walking around in the woods and the such could have instilled a passion for wildlife, which I now have. So, anywho, I thought I would share that. I'm gonna miss his smile and he was a little goofy at times. I don't know if you guys knew that, but I found him a little goofy. a serious goofy though. So, I think that's all I have to say, but, well, actually, one more thing. He's been really enveloped in like where I'm gonna head in my life and my future, and he's been, you know, very conscientious about my passion and what I'm into, and trying to help me maybe figure out what I want to do with my life. He's been sending me articles and the such, and he's just a very thoughtful person. You know, I'd get little newsletters and, you know, about certain interesting topics dealing with careers and finances and the such, you know, preparing me for my future as a true adult. So I just really appreciated that, and maybe at the time took it for granted, but now that he's gone, it's just, you know, I think about it more. So anyway, I'm done. So thank you for listening to me.
I'm going to interpose something right here. If you get the opportunity, go out and look in the photo albums and look at the RV they're talking about, because Gertrude has a little note written beside it that it's the smallest RV in the park. So if that gives you any indication, you need to see a picture of this. Roger.
Well, I have good memories of my father, especially working with him as a geologist. Geologist, mainly what an exploration geologist does is a prospector and goes out in the field, especially where you can see the rocks out in the desert, particularly in Nevada, and with maps, geology maps, giving the different types of rocks and strata and so on. And with in mind, he was looking for uranium. So with that in mind and knowing where uranium tends to B, then also he had the help of a Geiger counter or a scintillator, and we'd have that on in the car and then also with us when we'd walk around. But anyway, I worked with him particularly one summer when I was in high school, I believe, or when I was in college, I can't remember for sure. But we went all over the place in Nevada. In Nevada, you have a lot of areas where there's hardly any development, any people, and some beautiful mountains and so on. And we would even stay in a motel or camp out. And so we did a lot of talking. I learned to drive when I was with him. He'd let me drive on the dirt roads. And and that was fun, four-wheel driving, just seeing. I love the outdoors, so it was real special for me to do that with him. And I always enjoyed it when he had an interest of doing that with me. And also in the Sierra Nevadas, he took, as part of his job, he took us backpacking in the Sierra Nevada, and we were prospecting again. Sierra Nevadas are the big mountains in California, and just beautiful mountains with snow and some glaciers even on high points. And so I have very good memories of doing that with my dad. He was a very, Carissa described him pretty well, a quiet person, but he had a dry sense of humor. I think I have that too. Also sarcastic, he tended to be. And he would always speak the truth and speak what was on his mind. And he's a very good man. I'm going to miss him a lot.
My dad and I had a very special relationship because we both loved literature. And he was the one who, when I was very young, he took me to the library and he introduced me to books. And we always shared that very special love for literature and the written word. And he introduced me to some of his favorite stories, like Black Beauty and The Tale of Two Cities. And I never liked Shakespeare. He also really loved Shakespeare, and I never really could get into that too much. But that special gift that he gave me has always meant so much to me. He also wrote many poems, which I think he was a little bit, I don't know, he always felt a little bit like, I think he really always wanted to get a little bit of attention for his poems, but he never really felt that good about them. And I know I had read them in high school because he had helped me a lot in high school when we were doing our little things on poetry in English class. And it always meant so much to me because he spent so much time explaining a lot about poetry and how it worked and how he brought out his own poems and showed them to me, and I was always so impressed with all of that. And I just am really going to miss him, and all the things that he, you know, gave me are still in my heart, and I will always hold them dearly.
I guess I got to know Don a lot by looking for pictures of him. You'll see some of those later on. And whenever he mentioned the possibility of, actually she got me to volunteer that somehow. she's good at that. When she mentioned it, I thought, well, I don't know if I have that many pictures. He was only here for, you know, a couple years. And then when I started looking through them, and also they shared some pictures from when he was younger too, two things kind of came out at me. And one was that he had a real spiritual nature. And I take pictures here a lot. And I have some pictures of him praying with Gertrude during the service. And, you know, some people only go through the motions. But to me, it looked like they're really into it. And he has that real hope. I mean, Gertrude has that hope of seeing him someday. It's a blessed hope. And she mentioned just a little bit ago, you know, all our kids are Christians. And, you know, that's so important. And somehow those two really gave that to their children. And also another thing that really jumped out at me was his great devotion he had for Gertrude and family. And saw so many pictures, and it really touched me. And they were married. They've been were married 56 years. She says, 56 years, and that's wonderful to see that, and to see that devotion for each other. And they will meet again. We have that really blessed hope. And then the other part, the thing that kind of got to Bonnie and myself. She's my wife back there. Her father passed away on December 31, 1 year ago. And it brought back a lot of memories. And when we went to the viewing, her dad looks so much like Donald. It was kind of amazing. And he had that quiet intelligence that when he spoke, it really did make a lot of sense. And I heard some of you talking about that now. So he was a very special man. Wish we could have known him longer. He had great stories. Loved to tell the children's story. And we will miss him, but we look forward to seeing him again.
One of my greatest memories of Donald Mathewson was when I think it was last year, he told us the story of when he came down with pneumonia. And I basically never really listened to the children's stories. I just collected the money and just sat down and figured, well, just a matter of minutes and I'll go sit down again. But I remember that one day he started talking about it and I just finally realized, wait a minute here, I want to listen to this. So he told us the story about it and I went back and sat down. And my dad tapped me on the shoulder and said, do you realize your mouth was open the whole time? I'm like, No, it wasn't. I wasn't that interested. And he said, no, you were interested. And I said, okay, fine, maybe I was. A Bible verse after each story, and I don't remember them, but he told very good stories, and I think that's the one thing I remember the most about him, and I'm going to really miss that.
The songs that we all sang together really meant a lot to Donald. Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And Mr. Schoen, you alluded to the fact that he was a very spiritual man, and this is most definitely true. He had a passion for telling people about Jesus and that he was coming again. And it's reflected in the songs that he loved so much. Go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born. And his favorite Christmas song was Silent Night. And that's many people's favorite song. And it's so fitting because he died 6 a.m. Christmas morning in the hospital. So that song will ever have a new meaning in our hearts. And I'm going to play it in honor of him. Don't look at me. Close your eyes. Think about the meaning of the song. Reflect what it means about the birth of Christ. And then think about Donald and his desire to tell people that Christ is coming again. Thank you.
you look in the opposite side of the bulletin you were given to the poem Bits and Pieces, this is a favorite of mine and has been since my college days over 25 years ago. And it was given to me as a gift from a fellow student when we had, similar to Secret Sisters, Evie, we had secret people in the dorm, and you'd leave little gifts outside of each other's doors. And this particular poem was in that book, and it's about people. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because I know that you can all read, but I think that it's important. It says that the people come into your life, they touch it, and they move on. And Donald is one of those people that, you know, came into our lives and touched our life, and now he's moved on. And in the second paragraph there, it says, I believe in God's master plan in lives. He moves people in and out of each other's lives, and each leaves his mark upon the other. You are fine. You are made up of the bits and pieces of all who ever touched your life, and you are more because of it, and you would be less if they had not touched you. And that's the way, you know, I see Donald. You know, we're more because he had touched our life, and we'd be less if we hadn't had the opportunity to get to know him. I first met Don and Gertrude when they arrived here in Lancaster 2.5 years ago. They came to church with their son Roger and his wife Evie. They were just visiting. They came here and they really had no intention of joining the Seventh-day Adventist Church or joining us. They just wanted to see where their son went to church and came to visit. And Roger and Evie have shared with me that on Sundays after they first moved here that they were going around to all the Sunday churches here in town, and that for some reason Don and Gertrude just didn't feel at home in any of those. They felt the loving touch of the church family here from their first visit, and it made a difference in their lives. The interesting thing is that I started a series the first week they were here. And they came back each week during that series and ended up staying and joining the church. And they were very, very faithful church members here and came almost every single week unless illness or something kept them away. Donald served on one of our teams here at this church. We have a team called the Worship Team. And the Worship Team plans our worship services and gets people to volunteer by asking, poking, by whatever means we need to do it, to get them to volunteer to tell children's story or to read the scripture up front or to help make the announcements, just all kinds of different little jobs like that. And we met on a quarterly basis and planned things for 3 months in advance. And so to be sitting there and it'd be time to figure out who we're going to have tell the children's story. And whenever you ask a person, they did it for the entire month. And Donald would say, well, I'd like to tell the children's story, but I don't want to do it for a whole month. I just want to do it twice. And so we were like, all right. And so then Gertrude and Evie would look at each other. And the next thing I know, Don's doing it twice, Gertrude's doing it once, and Evie's doing it once. So between the four of them, they'd cover the month and make sure that the children's story was told. You know, Shane has shared one of his stories, and he told the story of the chickens and the eggs and helping to take the eggs into town and driving the car too fast and causing the eggs to all go falling over and making scrambled eggs out of them. And, you know, that can cost a family during the Depression a lot of money to lose their income by crashing the eggs. But he would tell stories like that and tie them into scripture and make the stories very real to the people that were hearing and listening. Gertrude and Evie had shared with me last night when we were meeting that Don had a great passion for reading and writing and for words, and I shared earlier about the dictionary and all the things that he just enjoyed. And as I often do, sometimes a song will spring into my head that just connects the dots, so to speak. And so whenever I was in my teens, my grandparents were old country folk too, and they lived out on a farm and went to little churches. But they taught me a song, and many of you may have heard it, especially some of the older people in the audience. Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. I'm going to stop right there. I know the whole thing, but we're going to stop right there. You know, I think that's how Donald Mathewson lived. He lived a successful life from the cradle to the grave. You know, he went about loving people, caring for them, enriching their lives in great ways. From the cradle to the grave. The one thing I remember the most about Don is how much he loved his family. I went to their home several times after they moved here in Lancaster, and
The very first time I was there, Don had to keep going and finding every picture of all of their children and all of their grandchildren to come out and introduce me and tell me stories about them and, you know, what they were doing in their lives and what they were growing up. And if something was wrong in somebody's life, I know, Noah, your name was mentioned many, many times by your grandparents in prayer. You know, Noah needs prayer because he's having trouble finding work, or Noah needs prayer for this. And you too, Carissa, you were mentioned often too. But, you know, and Brian, they mentioned you because they cared about you and they wanted to make sure everybody was praying so that petitions went up to heaven all the time for their family because they cared that deeply for their family. He was very proud of each and every one of you, and he loved you very, very much. When visiting with Gertrude and Evie last night, they shared with me how much Don loved Christmas. That it was just a special time for him. He loved everything about it. That the Christmas story after John 3:16 was his favorite scripture verse, his favorite thing about it. And we talked about the fact that I felt very strongly after Evie shared the fact that whenever Donald found out it was Christmas, he went, "That's nice." I feel very strongly that Donald chose to just let sleep overtake him and to pass away on Christmas. And I think there's two reasons for that. One is because of his passion for Christmas, and the other is he knew that they would be moving him to Pickering House the next day, and I don't think he wanted to go. Don chose to die on Christmas Day. The story's familiar. It's in Luke chapter 2. It starts out, "Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn." Jesus began his life in a manger. You know, we could call it a cradle, I guess, if we wanted to. It did cradle him. And he lived a life that was successful all the way to the grave and beyond. Don loved Jesus very, very much. And he also lived a successful life from the cradle all the way to his death. And when Jesus comes again, he will live on in heaven throughout eternity, just like Christ is now living in heaven. After meeting Jesus and seeing his family again, this is what I can imagine for Don in heaven. I can imagine him wanting to take a closer look at the stones in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. I can see him going over there and looking at them and, you know, just looking up at Christ saying, "They look a little bit different than the ones I remember from down on earth when I was out, you know, in the field and things." And can you see Jesus explaining, "Well, there's no impurities in these rocks. You know, the ones you saw down on earth had impurities in them because of sin and the blight of the earth." And I could see Don going, "Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I like these." Can you see it? Can you picture Don looking at those stones in the New Jerusalem foundation because of his passion for geology? One of the last times I saw Don was a week ago. And this will be hard to tell. I've shared this with a few people. When I went in to see him, he was alone, which was unusual because most of the time if I was over there, I ran into Roger or Evie or assorted family members. But he was alone, and I went over to the side of his bed, and he looked at me and he said, very quietly and gaspingly, he said, "Do you know that this is the end? They've called in hospice and they're going to send me to Pickering House." Well, I'd never heard of Pickering House at this time. I had to wait and ask Roger and Evie about that later. And I said, "Well, they shared with me that they called in hospice, Don." And I said, "But the most important thing is how's your life with Jesus? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet him?" And he says, "Yeah, but..." And you can see the look on his face. He's worried about Gertrude. And I made a promise to him. I told him, I said, "We've got Roger and Evie. And I said, the church will watch out for Gertrude for you. We'll take care of her." And you could tell he was getting a little bit tired. And I said, "How about if we pray?" And he held his hand up. And I took hold of his hand in both mine, because as somebody said, he's got very long fingers and large hands, and I have little stubby fingers, so I held his hand in both mine, and I began praying, and I was praying that God would give Donald peace and comfort, and that he would comfort his family and give them the strength to go through this. And then I said, amen, and when I did, Don didn't let go of my hand, he kept holding on. And he began to pray, gaspingly. And he began to pray, and he wasn't praying for comfort or strength for himself. He was praying for his family and for his church, that they would stay close to Jesus so he could see them again. And after he had prayed that, you know, the church would stay strong and that people would be reached for Jesus, he said amen. And then he closed his eyes, because that took about all the strength he had at that time. That'll forever be close to my heart. Don loves you. Everybody sitting here, he loves you. He knew his time was short. And his last prayer that I heard was for you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, it says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep." And that's where Don is right now. He's asleep. Jesus many times in Scripture refers to death as asleep. And so Don's asleep, and he says, "We don't want you to be ignorant about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do those who have no hope." We need to grieve for Don, but we need to grieve differently than the world grieves, because we have hope of seeing Don again. And so our grief should be a little bit different than the world's. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep." Just because we're alive when Jesus returns doesn't mean we get to go first. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." What an awesome promise. The dead in Christ shall rise first. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord." And then it says, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." You know, in the weeks and months to come, when we miss Don, you know, open to this text and read it. We will see Don again. We will see Don again when that trumpet call sounds, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall all meet together in the clouds. The end of the song that I started with earlier says that as you roll across the trestle, spanning Jordan's swelling tide, you behold the Union Depot into which your train shall glide. There you'll meet the superintendent, God the Father, God the Son, with a hearty, joyous plaudit, weary pilgrim, welcome home. This is not our home. We're forced to live here because of Satan and the things that he's done to humanity to try to destroy it. But our home is not here. Our home is with God. And someday when Jesus returns and he breaks open the clouds and he blows that trumpet blast, when the dead rise up, someday when that happens, we'll hear those words coming from the mouth of our Savior, "Welcome home. Welcome home." Are you ready? I know that's the one question Don would ask each and every one of you sitting here this morning. If Jesus were to return tonight, right now, are you ready? See, Donald doesn't need to worry about that anymore. Donald's ready. He's just sleeping until Jesus wakes him up. I know that he wants to know if you're going to be there to meet him, because he loves you and he cares about you. At this time, Mr. Schoen has put together, with the help of the family, a slide of some pictures. And we'll watch that, and then we'll have the benediction. Thank you. Shall we stand for the benediction? Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege of knowing Donald Mathewson. And Lord, we look forward to seeing him again when you return. And Lord, we pray that that return will come quickly. For we all long to leave earth and come live with you in heaven, where we are meant to be. Lord, we pray that you would just provide an extra special measure of your peace and your comfort to Gertrude and the children and the grandchildren and the extended family, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would watch over them in the weeks and months to come, and that you would help them to grieve as people who do have hope of seeing Don again. Lord, we just pray that you will just give them strength and courage to go on. Lord, we'd also ask that you would bless the food that has been prepared in Donald's memory. We pray, Lord, that you would just use it to nourish us, and Lord, that you would use us to serve you until you come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.